Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trek Talk with Handy and Kurt, because Tech is sick.
And we're the only two up here.
Yeah.
Anyway, good show, everybody. Thank you guys for coming to another episode of Trek Talk with Tech and Kurt and Handy and Boom.
Don't forget to do all the clicks and likes, comments, and all that good stuff.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Good show.
LOL. Anyway. Handy, there's no one on stage. Did you just kick everybody off stage?
Yeah. Just for the intro. There was only Sharky up. Barely here.
There was only Sharky. Let's see. Who hasn't been up here and talked in a while? Normally, in case you guys haven't figured it out, generally speaking, Tech usually kind of has an idea of what we want to do, and we kind of...
He's the man with the plan.
Yeah, so to speak, right?
Me and SK just kind of wing it.
Yeah, that's what we do. We just show up and wing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're rudderless without Tech.
If it weren't for me kind of taking the helm and running the Discord, then I'd be pretty useless other than just talking a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, ditto. Except I don't do anything except talk a lot.
I don't know. Now we got Shield Maiden up here. Shield Maiden, how the hell are you? What's going on?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm not so bad. Not so bad. I do have something we can talk about. So I finally finished Picard season 2. Because, you know, when they started, like, oh my god, the police are so bad. And they had law enforcement officers doing things that literally no law enforcement officer in the history of mankind would do. Because it's so overly exaggerated. I was just like, oh, this sucks. But then I pushed through it, and I have to admit that making it to that last episode was pretty good. So, there's spoilers, but it's been out long enough that, honestly, I don't really care. The last episode where Q and Picard, everything came full circle, it made sense. When I first saw it happening, I was like, this is going to suck, it's going to be cheesy, but then it actually did kind of make sense for why Q was always so obsessed with Picard. Well, I guess maybe obsessed would be a little strong, but maybe preoccupied with Picard and always, you know, trying to teach him a lesson and things like that.
I don't even remember the end.
Elnor comes back to life. Rios stays behind in the 2024.
I remember that.
Seven and Rafi have a relationship. And Picard and Q hug each other. And the Borg joins the Federation.
Right, I remember that.
Kinda. It was kind of cool. It was interesting.
I was going to say, cool, that's a stretch, but...
It was definitely interesting. It would be really cool. I always thought, how cool would it be if the Borg were part of the Federation? It's one of those things that, you know, has been discussed and people have talked about it. Because they are pretty, you know, they are, you know, a powerhouse, right? I mean...
No denying that.
You know, they can adapt to your phasers. You know, you can't shoot them and shit. So it was always really cool. But... some of the stuff along the way was kind of silly. I didn't need to spend like half the season watching Picard run through a dungeon. It was kind of lame.
What season are you talking about?
Season two.
And when does season 3 start?
I think my wife told me like February or some shit. I can't remember. I don't know. I am a little bit behind on Lower Decks. I think I'm behind. I'm down like one episode.
I'm down a few episodes on Lower Decks.
I think the last one I watched was the Deep Space Nine one.
I did not watch that one, so I think I'm one behind you.
That was pretty cool. They brought back all the voice actors.
Yeah, I heard it was cool. I just haven't watched it yet. I like to binge that sort of thing, and, you know.
With Lower Decks, it's easier. With Picard, you know, the episodes are like, you know, somewhere around 45 minutes to an hour, so it's a little harder to do that, because I can watch, you know, I can knock out two episodes in less time than it takes me to knock out one episode of Picard, so.
Right.
There's that, and I think I'm finally going to actually start watching Stargate SG-1.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, well, because like, I've seen a lot of it, bits and pieces, because my wife is one of her favorites.
SG-1 is my favorite show.
I've seen enough of it to like know the characters and what's going on and understand everything. I just haven't watched it from beginning to end. I sort of like Quentin Tarantino'd it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So, I get what's I know all the characters and I know what's happening and all that stuff, but I just need to watch it from beginning to end. I'd like to watch Farscape again eventually, but that's sort of back burner. But yeah, so I need to get, I don't want to get on Stargate. I just got so much going on. I have a fucking, the first time I've ever done this, I have a virtual proctored exam coming up on Saturday.
What? I don't even, what?
They watch you through your webcam and listen to you through your microphone to make sure you're not cheating.
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Proctored. Not to be a downer, but number one on Netflix, Jeffrey Dahmer. Has anybody watched that?
No.
Yeah, that I tried last night. It was pretty bad. I mean, it's true. I mean, I actually kind of remember when that happened, seeing it on the news. That is messed up shit.
Well, I can't watch stuff like that, you know, given my previous career.
Yeah, I saw some of that. I mean, some really bad shit.
Yeah, it just kind of opened, you know, kind of tugs at some old wounds there, and it's just not fun for me. I don't like watching any of that stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people, I'm into true crime podcasts, and it's like, I work in true crime, you know, that's not entertaining to me.
Yeah, some of those podcasts are interesting, they're long. I remember taking a 10-hour trip and listening to the Black Dahlia podcast. I mean, it literally lasted me the entire trip.
Oh man, the amount of effort some of these podcasters put into their research and their work, it's better than like paid professionals that work in journalism.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They got something to prove, right?
Or unprove.
Well, also because it's independent, you don't have anybody saying, oh, you can't put that in there, you can't say that, you have to say this. You don't have anybody looking over your shoulder. Exactly. So that's one of the reasons why I listen to more. I do more podcasts than watching like news and shit like that, because it's just how half it's bullshit. So anyway, Shadow Gray, what's up, Super Chief? What's the business?
Is he from your server? Server 34?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I could be talking out of my ass.
Maybe Shadow's like server manager thing. He can't unmute or something. No, he's not server muted. I don't know why he's not unmuting.
I don't know. We got Twisted up here. Let's see what the fuck Twisted's doing. I'll tell you what. Everybody that's listening, get people on this damn server. We are seeing, and we collected, the collective we as in our community, not just the four or five of us up here, but we collectively are starting to see the censorship in the official Discord is getting worse and worse.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's getting worse. Like, you know, it used to be that, you know, people would say some shit and they would kind of, you know, hey man, don't talk like that. Or, hey, you know, watch what you're saying, watch the language and stuff like that. And then it got to, hey, we don't like the content that you're posting. And then it's just gotten exponentially worse. And now you got people that are filing, you know, or bringing up valid points and legitimate complaints that are getting muted and warned and banned. And it's,
there was somebody from our server that was sending out women porn or something. I don't know how that got through.
So they're okay with porn, but not valid points that have to do with it.
Apparently, I mean, it's a Discord channel.
Wait, what?
Meaning what?
Well, I don't know. Like, they sent an invite out, and it was like...
Are we talking about the official Star Trek Fleet Command Discord? That's what we're talking about.
Oh. Maybe it's different.
Mighty's got something to say about it. I don't know.
No, he probably knows about it.
Hey. Yeah, no, it was just, it's a player, it's like everybody else. He was hacked, and then he started sending out those Discord links through PMs and stuff like that. He was just hacked.
Oh.
Oh. You start talking about porn.
I thought he was a pervert or something. I don't know.
I thought maybe somebody got an invite to my private server.
somebody just hacked them. You know how you sometimes people get hacked and you get that spam throughout the even this server here where they're inviting you to some Discord link. It was the same thing. He just got hacked.
That happens often.
I have a private server that, or that every now and then we use it, but there for a while we had a person who was a regular contributor, and she definitely loved posting porn. So there was like several channels that were dedicated for those people. And I was like, yeah, okay. I ended up having them all muted because, boy, they would go ham in those channels.
I got a question for you guys.
No.
Do we know what drama is with that new TE alliance with Key and shit? Like, what's that all about?
Oh, he's just upset at Dark for kicking. He's just not playing by the server's rules. He's doing his own kind of row.
No.
It's just a whatever. I wouldn't recommend getting upset about it. Just let him do his thing. He's going to get bored and go to some other.
I think Wolf is at war with TE now, right?
Who fucking knows?
We had him red dotted for like a day and a half, and then
they asked to have it removed. We told him fine, as long as leave us alone, we'll leave you alone.
There really wasn't like a big issue there. It was just that they were doing things outside of the normal shit, so.
Yeah, I know that Butthurto has been slapping Wolf around, I guess, and something with Sharky getting kicked from Wolf.
I don't know, Sharky's down there.
Oh, okay. So I guess Sharky got kicked from Wolf or something, and then Butthurto got butthurt about that, and so now he's hitting Wolf or some shit. I don't know.
Sharky, what say you?
Yeah. Sorry about that. The phone decided to update. So I had to get it logged on the computer.
Understandable.
When all the stuff, there was a bunch of conflicts between comms and stuff, trying to get that resolved, and I'd sent Rip's account out, and I was still dealing with Discord, and all of a sudden Puddle muted me or paused me on Discord, so I couldn't even answer nothing on the comm channel. And then 5 minutes later, I get fully kombooted from the Discord. And I work nights mostly, so I said, hell with it. I went to bed. And when I got back up, I wasn't even in an alliance.
I thought, oh. So they didn't even talk to you first? They
had to have talked to you about it first.
Yeah, I got a screenshot. I was talking to him, talking to Puddle. Robert won't even talk to me. Talking to Puddle on Discord directly and Fire Duster. That was the only two, and then they quit talking. So, hell with it. I'll just restart RMU, got Shadow back, and some of the players that I did have came over. Some of them are visiting 13 right now. And part of the conflict was Lamar and one of the MBD, good old Twisted, got into a conflict. And I was trying to get him calmed down and get him to where he apologized for the comments that were made. And they end up booting him without even voting on comms. And usually we try to do a diplomatic, do a council on him and get it resolved that way. Don't just straight boot a player.
I want to make sure we're clear. It wasn't me. Twisted. I'm the only important Twisted here in the server, so just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
is there another Twisted?
Twisted Evil.
Yeah, he's right here.
With y'all.
Wait, what did I do? I didn't get booted nowhere.
No, Lamar got booted.
Oh, yeah, Lamar got booted. Yeah. Because he hit me for being a shit. That's right. And then he was talking shit. That's right. Yeah.
But you so are
that's
a
you
shit.
Got, that's why you got kicked?
That's why Lamar got kicked, because I was trying to get Lamar settled down, get him to apologize to Twisted, because he was being more annoying than anything, because I seen all the screenshots, and I thought, really?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. He's a black guy, too, and I don't know where the mentality level is, but...
Well, I don't know if that really has anything to do with...
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't know if that really has anything to do with anything, but, you know.
Well, and that's what started some of the ending conflict on Wolf and I.
Oh. Because you said he's a black guy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can understand why that they would be upset by that comment.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out where you're going with that. I don't know.
I don't think I'm entirely clear on that either.
Well, it led into them doing what they did on Discord, booting me there, and then got booted from the game. Birdo was pretty pissed off, and he's just been slapping him left and right.
That's because he's Butthurto, man. That's not Birdo. That's Butthurto.
But what I'm still trying to figure out what skin pigmentation has to do with what the fuck is going on. Like, I don't know. I'm lost.
Yeah, there was a big conflict between all the comms and I guess, and they were asking questions, and when I went to go answer them, nobody wanted to listen to it, and I got paused and booted off the Discord, and they still haven't come out straight to what the issue was.
Well, shit happens, I guess.
If I had to take a wild stab, I would say that it's probably because the comment about skin pigmentation came about. It's usually a little frowned upon, at least in most general society.
No, that wasn't even brought up in the conversation, but what I was bringing up is because Twisted and Lamar's issue was going back and forth. It got into a pretty nasty conversation in the dry hits folder that we had that everybody can join. And it literally got pretty belligerent on some of their talk. And I exited out. I was like, I'm not going to deal with this where all our members can see that. He should have stayed between the comms, and it didn't get to go that way.
Well, say lovey.
I don't know what to say, and I have nothing to say, so I'll just not say anything.
I was letting Twisted know, yeah, he's a black guy, don't know what his mentality. His comments in that chat that he had with Twisted was, for some people, it just, you know, annoy or take it kind of a joke, but it is kind of annoying.
I don't know, I mean, you're still, like, you're being pretty, like, cryptic. Like, what is it, like, skin color and mentality, like, what does that even mean? Did I miss something? Was he like fuck honkies? Like, what, where did that come from?
Twisted,
do you have an explanation?
Yeah, we ought to post that.
All of his comments were, I would have never guessed that he was a person of color. I mean, I never thought to myself that, oh yeah, that's just because he's, you know, that. But anyways, and like, it was just stupid shit, like just random fucking weird shit. Like, we should go lick an ice cream cone together. We should go rollerblading together. Like, it just was random weird fucking shit that he would just send me randomly. You know, it was like, I want to touch your butt. I'm like, okay, cool. It just was just random shit. Like, I never thought to myself, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, because of the color of his skin. Like, I never would have. Like, I don't know. It's very odd. But anyways, I that's why I don't know why that came about in this conversation, because like, there was never any mention of any of that kind of shit. So I just wanted him to like apologize for being a dick. That's all I cared about. And instead he just randomly sent me fucking, you know, we should rollerblade together. We should, you know, lick an ice cream cone together. You know, just really just fucking stupid shit. And it just kept going. And I just was like, dude, this guy needs to shut the fuck up. You know, like, leave me the fuck alone. Either apologize or just leave me the fuck alone. And that was that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I tried to get him to apologize, but that went south.
Well, Sharky, I don't know, because I am so confused, but I will tell you that maybe a byproduct of my confusion, that literally everyone in the audience and everybody else up on stage, probably Craigbot too, the out from left field comment, and no, nobody on this stage is an air quotes snowflake, but it really comes off as a bit racist.
I wasn't trying to be racist, because
I'm sure you weren't, but I think maybe that's why there's like the people were sort of like, "What? Wait, what?" I think that's where that came from, and why we were all confused. So I'm not trying to like poke fun at you.
It comes off as a little bit more than a little bit racist.
I'm gonna dumb it down. Basically, anytime you mention somebody's skin color as a descriptor for the way they act, that is racist. So if you were to mention that, hey, this person of color and they're acting, you know, and then maybe that's why they act like this, like that's so, you know, in certain social circles and certain upbringing, like it may be used as a description for the way somebody acts, which is also racist. And it just becomes normal for certain, you know, for certain groups in society to refer to people like that, but it is indeed racist. So that's why somebody would have a reaction like that.
I just got one up to by Handy on the bluntness scale.
Well, I mean, I'm just dumbing it down, making it very simple instead of beating around the bush, right?
Well, I wasn't gonna. I've made it a point to not try to interpret what people are saying. I just tell them how it comes off to me. But yeah, I mean,
I'm not even saying that I believe Sharky believes that. I'm just saying that I can totally understand why, in some social circles, people may talk like that, not even realizing what they're doing. So, you know, in polite society, you know, there's just a different way of looking at things. And sometimes it helps to have a little clarity to understand why somebody views something a certain way.
Yeah, it all went through our dry hit tab, and that was one thing that was kind of brought up to you. I wasn't the one that actually brought it up on that conversation.
Oh, okay.
Well, who brought it up?
One of the other calls deal. That's why I had to end up getting out of it and leaving that chat. Tried to get it back in the Calm channel, and it didn't go there.
Well, you know, you can always expect people to act stupid when it comes to this game and blow shit out of proportion. Make offhand comments that have no place in this game. So that's unfortunate, anyways.
We actually banned somebody from the server because of that type of shit.
Yep. We sure did. Because everything came down to race.
Yeah, that person did not... It wasn't like a conversation that we're having now. It wasn't even a conversation. It was just wild, strange, knee-jerk. Like, it was just fucking stupid. Is what it was. Anyway. Alright, moving on from that uncomfortable shit.
Oh man,
Twisted, are you still 44 or did you go to 45?
I have 45 in the oven. It's been in the oven for like 2 months, but since the strike team originally came out, I put 45 in the oven. No, I have not pulled the trigger yet. I am just banking resources for... I thought we were going to have an auction for this particular strike team, but apparently Scopely had a different idea about wanting to suck the money out of everybody's wallets instead. Did you see that new pack they put up, by the way? It's like a fucking random pack in the store, $100 or whatever you can buy. You get so many pulls in the officer section now, and then there's a chance you can get the patterns to do the second full pull for the main officer. And it's like unlimited, by the way. So of course you could buy, you know, 1,000 of them if you wanted to. It's fucking ridiculous.
They must be down on revenue or something, because they always do this where it's either an Armada event or it's a domination event. But this one's really bad.
It's pretty bad. This is like a really bad, like this is, I mean, you'd have to spend probably damn near $1,500 to maybe unlock him at this stage.
No, it's not like that. People are unlocking for $300.
Well, either way, that's still...
It's about in line with what they charge for our epic officers. Usually $300 to $400 they charge for an epic officer unlock right when it comes out. That's about typical, and that's what this is also.
Yeah.
So it's not out of line. Like if you got the elite battle pass, gave you a certain amount of shards, and then you got two or three of those packs, you'd pretty much ensure and unlock. But I can understand why they released this crap to increase revenue. I mean, they've been missing the mark quite a bit lately, and I'm glad to hear that they're missing money, because maybe they'll actually fix it instead of coming up with bullshit packs like this.
Well, they almost always do an officer auction, though, Handy. So, I mean, it's actually not in line with anything, because they usually do an officer auction, and they're not even doing that now. So,
right, because people have complained about too many auctions, and now there's no auctions, and people are complaining about not having any auctions.
Yeah, because there's no free-to-play path at all when it comes to this. Like, you can't even possibly get half the shards, you know, through an auction. I don't know why people complain about auctions. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a saver, though, so because I save for these specific auctions, and then I burst my research, or I burst my power.
I can tell you from my perspective, auctions suck, because I'm in a bracket where every swinging dick has a bigger wallet than me. And I'm literally incapable of ever winning any of these auctions.
That's a good point. When I was still, you know, spending pretty heavy, I was in that bracket, like that was just like, you know, like one step down from the bigger top guys. And I never won those, and I spent money, and I never won anything. The highest I would place is like, you know, fifth or sixth or something like that. And
even then, that's enough to unlock him, though. If you were to get like fifth, that's usually enough to unlock with the even just regular battle pass, you know?
Yeah, I think another thing too is they saw the popularity of the strike team. And they're like, ooh, we can capitalize on this further with the next strike team, because everybody's going to be looking out for it. So we release this battleship one, and everybody that doesn't have a good battleship is getting their ass fucking kicked. So when we release this one, a lot of people, they'll be so fed up with getting their ass kicked, they'll drop some cash on it. And they did. There was a couple people last night that had admitted to dropping several $100 to unlock Dakot.
If you don't get these strike new PvP teams, I mean, you're going to be behind. You need them.
Yeah, no, 100%. During the last arc, the PvP events that we had, and even during incursions, there were people that had, there were, you know, I was going against Kelvins that were 10, 11 million, sometimes 12, and my 6 million auger was, my 6 million auger was pushing them in, because I would just go La'an, Una, and then whatever the Trinity is, you know, if it was, you know, like Kang or whoever, and I was beating him like pretty much 9 out of 10 times, and it's super, super duper overpowered. So yeah, if you don't have the strike team, you're not going to be very competitive in PvP unless you're just wildly able to overpower these ships. Like I beat a fucking Pylum. Now, admittedly, it was a lower level Pylum. It was quite small, but I was beating this Pylum with my strike team.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that with this new interceptor strike team, or whatever you want to call them, those pylons are going to be very deadly.
Any interceptor, I mean, now you're going to see people with D4s that are punching up and smacking around like Katingas and shit.
But the firing pattern on the pylon, I just think it's going to be, that's going to be deadly.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's pretty rough. It'll definitely be interesting to see how that affects the next incursions, and then after that, of course, they'll end up having the Explorer strike team, and so then, you know, then it'll be evened out again as long as you have those strike teams, and then it's just a matter of who crews what first. And so I'm not going to be spending anything as far as like pushing a bunch of resources to try to get the interceptor strike team, because I'm pretty far off from getting a big interceptor, so be waiting around for that Explorer strike team. I'm interested to see how the Explorer team is going to work. Obviously, it's going to be a morale crew, but and there's going to be something about multiplying shots.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And stuff like that, of course. But it's going to be interesting to see, is it going to be like, are they going to affect shield health? Like, restores 25% of, you know, shield health or increase mitigation. It'll probably be increase mitigation to shield.
Yeah, shield deflection. It'll be a shield deflection build.
It'll probably be, yeah.
And then it'll probably be a reduced shield piercing for one of the rare officers. It'll be like a reduction of shield piercing. So that way it can't penetrate the Enterprise shields. And then a shot multiplier is my guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And it's also driving the... another side effect is that it is driving people to obtain other ships. So, like, even for me, like, getting the Katinga, somebody was saying, oh, it's kind of stupid, you already have a Valdor. Well, battleships are better grinders, and it's gonna take me a long time to get to a fucking G4 battleship, so that's pretty much what I'm going to have. But I'd made that decision before the strike team came out, that I wanted to get the Katinga for various other reasons. But now that the strike team's out, you got a lot of other people that all of a sudden now they have, you know, Katingas. Or you've got some people that are, you know, that are in the higher 40s that all of a sudden they have Newtons, you know, and so they're starting to do that stuff. And it's going to drive ship sales as well. So people are going to start spending money on packs for faction credits and shit like that.
The only issue with switching to a Katinga when you already have, say, you know, a Kelvin, or if you have a Valdor, is that the Katinga, remember, that's going to use a lot of the resources you need to advance. I mean, it is such an ore-heavy grind to get to 46. I mean, it is extremely ore-heavy.
It is, but I will also tell you that using a Valdor severely hampers your ability to do research and some of the buildings, because all of your engine upgrade, your engine technology lab and your foundry, all that, it's all gas. All your defense platforms are gas.
Yeah.
So it's just like, obviously, it'll end up balancing out. Either way, you're going to hit a hitch.
I find getting gas, though, a lot easier than getting ore. Like, I feel like a lot of the events actually pay out quite a bit of gas, whereas most events don't pay out a lot of ore.
Because of, like, the jellyfish events and shit like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, even if you were to get your Cheerio to tier 5, I think it was what it is, that also gives you another, it's like an Armada event or something like that, that gives you gas payout similar to the jellyfish events. So, and that's weekly. So I feel like they give out a lot more gas than they do ore. And so that's why the Katinga, in just my opinion anyways, is more of a you know, it stops your progression when it comes
more to more of a hindrance.
Yeah. That's just again, my opinion. I already have all my Newton VPs though. So, and I obviously have enough to get to 46 and get my shipyard built to 46 right now. So I'm just kind of waiting for a decent officer auction, because that's the only way I get these officers is through officer auctions. I don't have any other way of getting them. So, cause I'm not going to fucking buy, I'm not going to spend $300 on a fucking officer. That's stupid.
I'm not doing that. I will admit that I dropped in the past few months. I've bought two $100 packs, and one of them was more on kind of like, you know, we're doing the hurricane thing, and I was like, there's a hurricane, we have a hurricane fund, I'm now 153 million higher with my Klingon rep, you know. So, you know, that's what I utilized. And then I got the Bajoran one. Because that one actually went, that one stretched very far. Those orbs, or whatever they are, the prophet things, I can't remember what the fuck they're called, you know, in the Bajoran factions.
Yeah, for the trinkets or whatever you get.
Those actually did a lot. I mean, I think just getting those, the base level ones, bumped my ship power on my Valdor up like 300,000.
Holy crap.
It was like 250 to 300 getting all of those. And well, I mean, it's hard to remember too, because at the same time, like I was telling you this morning, Twisted and PM, I've been pushing my research because I've been, you know, there for a while. I was just sort of lackadaisically playing. I would complete the events, but I really wasn't speeding anything up or really have a strategy. So I've gone from like 38.9 million in power to like over 43, almost 44 million in power in a matter of weeks. That's just from research. So my ship power went from like right at 11 million to like 12.5 million, 12.7 with a good PvP crew on my Valdor. So I've just been pushing this research because I started looking around and I'm like, man, that guy's got a Valdor. And it's the same tier as mine, but it's so much more powerful.
What level are you?
I'm Ops 44.
Research is huge. It really is. It's a big deal.
Kirk, I agree with that. The Valdor was the first ship I got, and it is a beast. I was still able to keep doing with my research and buildings on my station, and I watched my power jump and still used a lot of grinding on that Valdor, and I've got it up there quite a ways on the tier. And I'm same thing. I see Valdors that are same tier, lower level.
Yeah, it's just research is what it is. And it's also the one thing that people don't realize, it's also the officer research that increases officer stats. You know, so now my maxed out epic officers are like anywhere between 80 to 90,000. So I don't have to, you know, as far as lower deck officers, I don't need 4 or 5 slots to max out my stats anymore. I can do it in 3. And so, you know, that's another big thing. So maxing the stats out there. And all the twos and fews that you look at and you're like, fuck, dude, 100 days and like, you know, 70 million dilithium or close to a billion to increase my crit chance by 0.5%. Well, guess what? All that shit adds up. And that's why you could even have a better crew than some of these other ships, but they'll still kick your shit in because their research is far superior. And so, you know, now I'm upgrading my Armada stuff. I'm doing all these other things that you kind of, if you're not really, your heart's not really in the game, you're not really paying attention to, all that shit adds up. So you get up to like 44, 45 million in power as an Ops 44, your research and everything is leaps and bounds ahead of most other people at that same Ops level. And that is also, by the way, I still have 3 guns that are 43 and 2 guns that are 42. So if I bump those guns up, you already know I'm going to be bumping well over 45 million in power. So just trying to get that caught up, and instead of trying to, like as I said earlier, I stopped playing for a while and it dropped me down several sort of brackets, right? And so now I'm in a bracket where I'm in a completely different bracket where I'm so far back that there's no way that you're going to be sort of like competitive, right? So now it allows me, instead of focusing on, oh, my ship's got to be bigger, this has got to be bigger, it allows me to focus more on strategy rather than trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, there ain't no way I'm going to go up against the fucking, you know, G4 rare, unless they have some shitty ass crew on there, or G4 epic, or of course any G5s or anything like that, but I can plow through most of the people that are my ops level. So I'm okay with that. Lethal just sent me a PM. He said it's about $600 to get Dukat.
Yeah, that's I guess the unfortunate part, because
it depends on how you do it. Most people are unlocking him for 300.
I got into a position. You know, there's always like one research or one building that's holding you back from a lot of these other buildings, and so when they had an auction before the last arc, they had an auction for Strange New Worlds Pike, and I had missed, you know, a couple of arcs I didn't really play, so I was like, well, I have all this material. Dude, I had like 50, 60,000 G4 crystal, 50, 60,000 G4 ore, and so I pushed to Ops 44, and then I had all this stuff that I can do. I had a bunch of speed-ups and Latinum that I had been just sitting on because I hadn't been really playing. And so I was like, well, I'll just go ahead and go in on this officer auction because, you know, I didn't get any of those officers, so I'll get Pike. And then, you know, like a week later, they had an auction for La'an, and I was like, fuck! But I was able to place good enough to get her, so I have La'an and Una, but I don't have, what's her name, the other one, with the shade side of her head. Ortega.
Honestly, Ortega is not that great anyways. You're locked behind RNG with Ortega, so you have RNG just to get burning, and then you have RNG just to get her activated, and so both RNGs have to line up before Ortega's decent, and until you actually get those officers tiered up, I probably like tier 4 I would say, for Strike Team Leon. Ortega is just not going to be that great.
I've never lost a full synergy Strike Team because then I'll do Leon, Una, and Charvenik, and I win every time. 10 out of 10. I went up against the Katinga in my Augur with Charvenik, and they were like 10, 11 million, almost double the power of my Augur, and I still won. And they had full synergy Strike Team. So there's something to be said for that. I think Ortega is one of those, like you say, I think that's kind of optional. You know, you can use it if you want, but you throw Charvenik on there or Kang or Marcus, and I think that's going to be your best bet in PvP, it seems to be. Because a Strike Team with Marcus against the dam, against an Explorer, is like, that's a guaranteed fucking win.
Has anybody figured out how they're pairing the Incursion servers?
No, I don't think we're not gonna, just like last time and the times before that, we're not gonna find out what they're doing until they do the gearing up event. So,
but the selection process, nobody really knows.
No, not really. I don't think so. I know there was a couple people I know from Server 45 on one of our chats where they seemed to think that there was like some bracket that they were doing, and eventually there was going to be, you know, who's the best or whatever. And that's not the case. They're not going to do that. It's only a matter of time before you go back against the same server that you went against previously, and then you can get your two Una shards and your whole 750 subspace relay modules. So when we won our last one, that was one of the big conversations. Like, man, these rewards really suck. All that for this? This sucks.
I would debate you on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that the rewards are actually pretty decent.
The speed buff for me for the base building was 225, and that knocked down about 200 days on my ops upgrade, going to 50 when I applied it. So from 744 to 520-something days.
I mean, that's pretty decent. I didn't see anything like that.
Yeah, based on your ops level. So some folks said that theirs was like 150 or whatever, but that you get a 7-day buff of either research speed or building speed.
The problem is that you have to be in a position to utilize that because it auto activates, which is, to me, kind of sucks. Like, just let me fucking bank that shit and use it when I'm ready to jump up. It's just kind of silly. And so because, you know, like, especially for me, I had some buildings that I could upgrade and things like that, but I didn't have a lot. I'm not like doing a big push, you know, where you're upgrading like 15, 20 buildings at a time to jump up a level or something like that. That would have been much more convenient to be able to bank that and use it when you needed to use it, you know, when it would be most beneficial.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because there's a lot of those buffs that they're gone before you can really take advantage of it, because everybody was at a different, you know, time frame.
So tough to keep winning.
Yeah,
it's all right, but I just think for the amount of effort, I don't think, you know, I think if you want to get more people's hearts in it, you need to put something better in there. You know, maybe not a full officer. I'm like give them like a half unlock of some epic officer or something. You know, give them, you know, something more like that. And take those two shards and shove them up your ass. You know, so.
I don't know. I mean, I look forward to it because it's a day that, you know, you can just go, you know, balls to the wall and just, you know, do something totally different. I mean, I don't do any of the events. I'm just working on cracking bases and PvP. I mean, it's just kind of fun because you can just, there's no role, there's no nothing. You just can just go blow shit up. I mean, I enjoy it.
It's fun, but what I'm saying is it's fun for, we've talked about it before, everybody plays the game for a different reason, everybody has a different outcome, and a lot of people, based on the rewards, is where they decide to place their effort. So if you have one of those players and they look at that and they're like, but I'm already beyond where 750 is going to even bump me up a level on this damn subspace relay, you know? These shards, I don't give a shit about the Una, you know, and this speed up thing, I mean, fuck's sake, I'm not in a position where I can utilize that anyway. There's no motivation there. So there's too many variables as to the type of people they're playing. And there's plenty of people that I've talked to that say the same thing. Like, man, these rewards are ass. Like, I'm not going to spend an entire day and shut down my fucking schedule to do this. these rewards suck. I'm not doing it. I don't care.
I mean, I agree with that. You really have to have the time to just play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and especially especially when they had it. Like, I wasn't able to play until, like, 8 or 9 o'clock that night because I was on my way back from this, you know, the hurricane evacuation. So I was only able to get in, you know, a solid 4 or 5 hours total worth of play between that night and then the next day. So I don't know. I think if they could bump up the rewards a little bit, I think it would have been...
Did you guys win the last one?
Yeah, yeah, we won. We won pretty damn well. Correct. I think it was like 20 build to 12. So we got a pretty good jump on that. It was a little weird that when I was driving home, I would check it every now and then, like a rest stop, and just look at the score, and we were losing. And then all of a sudden, when I got home, we were winning. And then we just stayed in the lead. And then I guess toward the end, they got demoralized, and we just pulled further and further ahead. So we won. And I would also like to point out that that server had already won. Like, I think the person up on stage said they won two of their incursions. So.
Yeah, I think I was shocked that we actually won. I think there were one or two bases that threw us over the edge, and we took the lead and won in the early morning hours of the day, depending on where you live.
Yeah, somebody was posting y'all's score like during the day, and you guys were just not winning like the whole day.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that really didn't care, weren't shielded.
Well, that's the thing. What happened is the people on your server are like, oh, we're going to win, and then you almost didn't. And then, unfortunately, since you did, you may, depending upon the server you go up against, you may end up losing your next one because of that sort of comfortable, lackadaisical mentality. Like, oh, we always win. They don't need me. I'll go do whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, it's kind of, I think that's going to be the downfall. And then, of course, people will be like, oh, shit, I actually have to try now. So that's how it always works. People get a little too comfortable, and then they lose, and they go, oh, shit, we got to start trying again.
Well, I think it's more they get too comfortable, and they just don't shield. They just don't care. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Oh, we're going to win anyway.
That's going to either, you know, break you or you know, it's the shielding that's the problem, you know. Finding the bases is one thing to hit, but if your players don't shield, that's huge. Especially if they're top heavy on their resources.
Oh, we know all about that.
We also know about top down math.
Take that two ways. Lord have mercy. What else you got? Anybody got anything else? Does any person about the audience have anything they wish to contribute? Yes, no, maybe so.
I mean, I got a few things.
What you got, Handy?
Let me come up with something quick and I'll let you.
Oh, Jesus.
A few things I wanted to touch on, though, is I feel like the servers general since Incursion started are a lot more people. I don't know what everybody else is experiencing. But internally, like, the fighting that used to happen has died down, like, a lot. And also, territory has completely died out. Like, nobody's making any moves on territory since Incursion started, too. And it's like, we only have an Incursion, and just that one event enough to, like, chill out most servers and make it to where territory is existing.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm bringing it up. I mean, I can speculate. It's just people... It's just like alliances, right? So you get a bunch of people in an alliance, they're all going to fight under that one banner. Well, you pit servers against each other, and now they're all fighting under one banner. So it's hard to make somebody out to be an enemy when you're fighting alongside them, right?
I mean, we had Shadow on our server jump into TC, make some waves. That was, what, a month ago?
Yeah, but I'm talking...
Large scale,
generality, as a whole. There's always one-offs, but for the most part, it's been really quiet. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. What are you people? What is everybody else experiencing?
What do you mean by you people?
You people. You know exactly what I mean.
We're Trekkies. Yeah, I don't. We're not. Well, we haven't been seeing any territory moves at all. I mean, we really don't see much.
That's going to be a thing, actually, Ryan, because now you can't really swap players anymore, and if you want to get buffs and stuff, you got to rotate.
Well, I mean, you would think so, but they haven't changed the buffs forever. They haven't done it. It's like they've completely abandoned territory.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I feel like something's coming with territory, because more than half of the fucking research nodes with that Cardassian shit is all about territory.
I did notice that as well.
So, like, what the fuck's coming? You know, or is it just they really think that their territory idea was a smash hit?
I mean, I like territory. I enjoy territory. I don't enjoy having to do it every other day, but if, like, you know, once every month or two, you, like, do some big battle and you plan, try and be all sneaky and get your allies involved and stuff like that, like, that's fun.
I still say the most fun way to do territories is have every territory reset on the same day at the same time.
I think they just need to swap buffs more often. They need to shift the core buffs around, the 4-star or whatever you call them, the 4.
I mean, that's if that's all they did, I think it would make a lot of people around. I agree completely. It's just interesting.
I still say if you had all of them change at the exact same time, it would create so much pandemonium. That shit would be funny as hell.
I don't know. If they keep adding currencies, though, new ships and new areas that we have to grind, I don't know, man. I'm going to stop playing the fucking game because it's getting to be too
much. Yeah.
Too much of a fucking time suck.
You got your dailies, you got your grinds, there's so much that you're literally just trying to get through your day with, like, what, 4-5 hours of play? Who's got time for that?
Well, unfortunately, there are people that do have time for that, and those are the only people that are going to be playing the game. So for people that have a job and a family, I mean, what the fuck are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
They're just going to fall behind.
If I had little kids, there's no way.
Yeah, that's me. You know, I got little kids, and I'm you know, working on this business and other things. I got certifications, you know, family shit, all that stuff. Man, I get in where I can, but it's all I can do just to complete the normal stuff, the regular events. And it's a bit of a pain in the ass.
That was the second thing I wanted to bring up, is time management. I just don't know where Scopely's going with this. It's like they're tailoring their game to people. That this game used to be a mobile game where it was, you know, you could jump on for 15 minutes 5 times throughout the day and you got your shit done and had some fun. Now it's like you got to sit down and, like, put aside some fucking time to actually get shit done. And I think it's just sucking a little bit of the fun out of the game, personally.
It is. I mean, they just came out with Cardassian armadas, and then the very next arc they come out with solo armadas, and then the whole new, you know, faction store that you got to work on that rep, and there's just too much going on. There's too much fucking. I still say that having all this new content every month, first of all, is the reason why they keep fucking everything up. There's too much going on for them. There's too much going on for us, and you know, I would much rather have maybe 3 or 4 1-month arcs a year that were solid, thought through, and actually added value than more button clicks.
I just wish they would circle back and half the year they just revisit things they've already put in the fucking game instead of feeling like they have to come out with something new and shiny every single month. Ridiculous. Can you imagine what this game's going to... If they keep going how they are, can you imagine what this game's going to look like in a year? It's going to be literally a second job. Like, you put in fucking 40, 50 hours a week just to get the game, just to do the shit.
No one's going to start playing. They're not even going to understand what they need to do when if you've got somebody new coming onto this game.
Well, you space things out by level, so if you came into the game now, you get introduced to everything slowly. However, I mean, shit, once you get to around 40, everything's unlocked to you. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's intense. So,
40?
Well, what level does everything become unlocked? Like maybe 36, maybe even lower. I don't know.
The raw intelligence and that pinnacle of power stuff, that just unlocked me at 51. That's a whole new track and grind. Like, nobody told me about this shit. Like, what the hell?
But that's for research.
But there's an event that you get for it. You got to go kill stuff. You got to go back to your faction store to turn in that intelligence. You got to go apply that to the tree. It's a whole nother track.
Yeah, and that's just one of 100 other things you got to do.
Right. Nobody warned me about that.
Well, because it just kind of came into the game and everybody over 50 just already knows about it. It's just part of the research. You just get the doodads to do the thing, to do the research, blah, blah, blah.
Nothing.
It's mainly to unlock your warp stuff, transwarp paths and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, to try and like, if you just handed somebody a level 50 account, said, "Here, play this." I mean, can you imagine how fucking lost they would be? The only way I even know any of this shit is because I've been playing for like what, 3-4 years.
Well, and I think some of that's going on where a lot of the higher level players are just like, fuck it, I'm done. And they hand it over to lower level players that their friends or whatever, they're taking over those accounts and they're seeing that. Holy shit. There's a lot of shit I got to do now.
And to stay competitive and to keep up with the Joneses, especially if you're obsessive compulsive, like, there's just too much, man. They've already added. They keep adding shit. I just don't know. I mean, as it is right now, I skip shit because I just don't have the time.
My outlaw research is lagging because it's just prioritizing other shit over that.
Well, luckily, I'm done with outlaw, and I know a lot of people are done with it still. I mean, I think Scopely has overestimated how much stuff is quote unquote done by players. Like, you got players like Inko that have finished pretty much everything because they paid for it. But those are aberrations, those are exceptions, not the rule, you know? So I listened to DJs the other day. They had on a content creator and the guy who literally was part of building this arc. And he was saying, oh yeah, you know, we released this new stuff. And somebody brought up, you know, like, I think it's a little much. And, oh no, you know, people are finishing, you know, some of the older content. So, you know, we got to bring out new stuff. Like, that's what they think. They think everybody's done with the old content. They want new stuff. Like, it's just not fucking true.
The short answer to that is, and the true answer is, we're not making money off the old content.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
We're not making money off the old content. When in actuality,
it's all FOMO, guys. It's all fucking FOMO. Like, the only way Scopely is going to fix this shit is if we stop spending money.
That's never going to happen.
I know. But it's going to keep getting worse until they destroy the game.
No. We'll see what happens. All right. Well, I guess thanks, everyone, for coming to an episode of Trek Talk with Handy and Kirk this time. I'm Kirk.
I'm Andy.
And thanks to everybody else for coming up on the stage. Please like, subscribe, comment, even if you hate us, because even the haters drive traffic. And we'll see you guys next time.